The National Catholic Register is the essential and reliable source of news and views for Catholics. Subscribe today. Go to EWTN.com and click on the link for The Register or call 800-421-3230.
From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Tim Drake talks with National Catholic Register correspondent Victor Gayetan about his coverage of the Pope's pilgrimage to Mexico and Cuba, a big week in the life of the Church. Also in the second half, Dan Burke talks with top blogger Matt Archbold about how Catholics can better communicate their values and perspectives during this important election season. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Tim Drake, senior writer for The Register.
Good to be with you, Tom.
And with your spirit. Also with Dan Burke, executive director for The Register.
It's great to be here, Tom.
Well, you are a smiling man today, and you've got some wonderful news to share with our Register Radio audience.
Oh, we do. The Register is very blessed to have won the About.com Best Newspaper Award. The funny part is that we won the Best Newspaper Award, but essentially all the voting was digital. So a huge percentage of people that voted really consume our digital content. But obviously, we have quite a few subscribers. Subscriptions are going up. The marriage with EWTN and the Register has really been a match made in heaven, so to speak. And the support we've received and the EWTN audience has just embraced us. And we really are grateful to win the award. It's just been fantastic.
I also want to throw out a little shout out to our friends at Catholic Answers, certainly one of our most popular radio programs, which won Best Radio Show.
Great show.
Yeah. Register Radio was one of the nominees. We were very honored to be nominated. Really, the show has only been on the air for a few months, so we were certainly in good company being up there with Catholic Answers.
Absolutely.
Well, let us get to it here with Tim and Victor. You know, this is, as we said in the opening, a great week in the life of the Church as our Holy Father visited two Latin American countries with the same language but very different religious challenges. Wouldn't you say so, Tim?
Oh, certainly, Tom. You know, it's very interesting. First, the Pope visited Mexico, where you have a government that's been trying to gain some control over all of the drug violence going on there, and then to Cuba, where you've got a government that it has too much control. And so we invited award-winning journalist Victor Gayetan, who serves as international correspondent with the National Catholic Register, to talk with us. He's also written for Catholic News Service, The Washington Times, and Foreign Affairs. In 2010 and 2011, he received a total of 5 first prize awards from the Catholic Press Association for his work, including a series on Cuba for the Register. A native of Romania, he escaped communist Romania as a teenager and made his way to the U.S. Victor has a Ph.D. from Tufts, and he's based in Washington, D.C. And he recently covered the Pope's trip to Mexico and Cuba for the Register. Thanks for joining us on Register Radio today, Victor.
Happy to be with you, Tim and Tom.
The Pope just wrapped up his pastoral visit to Mexico and to Cuba. And I'm wondering if you can just explain for us, Victor, first of all, what was the primary purpose of this trip?
The primary purpose for the Pope's trip to Cuba was to celebrate the 400th anniversary of the discovery of Our Lady of Charity, which is a miraculous statue of Mary, cradling Jesus, found 400 years ago floating in a bay of northeastern Cuba by three fishermen, two Spanish brothers, and a slave. This small 16-inch tall statue stands today in the Basilica of El Cobre, which is a mining town near Santiago de Cuba. Our Lady of Charity was named the patron saint of Cuba by Pope Benedict XV in 1916. And Pope John Paul II crowned the Virgin and Child during his visit in 1998 to Cuba. So this was the main reason for the visit. However, the pilgrimage involved, in my view, two other very important reasons. And three reasons. As I said, one was to celebrate the 400th anniversary of Our Lady of Charity. And the second reason, the Pope went as a pastor in order to encourage the people of Cuba who are frustrated, who are unhappy, who are hungry for more freedom. We know that the majority of Cubans are baptized, although only less than 10% attend weekly mass. In addition, the Pope is a global leader. He's a head of state in his capacity as the leader of the Vatican City. And in this role, the Church has its diplomatic corps around the world, which is in a position to negotiate with other countries and help solve political problems. In Cuba, the Church is the only organized independent institution. Everything we know is controlled by the state. The Church in Cuba has emerged in the last 30 years as the in the last 20 years, rather, as the major interlocutor with the Cuban government, especially regarding political prisoners.
Looking at his trip overall to Mexico and to Cuba, is there something that you would identify as a high point to the trip, and what would that be?
I was impressed, very impressed by the mass in Santiago de Cuba, which was so beautiful. The altar was designed in blue and white to remind us of the sea, and the arches above the altar formed a giant M for Mary. The mass was offered in the central plaza of the city, which is the second largest city in Cuba. There was an extraordinary choir, the local choir, that sang with great enthusiasm. The mass was moving in many ways. First of all, it's a serious celebration marked by wisdom and solemnity. So just seeing the mass being offered by the Pope, where some 200,000 Cubans able to experience the Catholic liturgy, was wonderful. Remember, the Catholic Church in Cuba was persecuted when Fidel Castro came to power in 1959. Priests were expelled or jailed. The bishops were all either thrown in jail or sent into exile. The church property was confiscated. The schools, the newspapers were confiscated and closed. So church activity was prohibited, and Cuba was declared an atheist state until 1992. In time, of course, the church came back to life. So to see this enormous mass with this background in 2012 was a very unique experience.
Has that change, has a lot of that change, do you think, come about as a result of the visit of Pope John Paul II and his call for changes in Cuba?
Indeed, Paul John II's visit made an enormous difference in Cuba in terms of reminding the people, the faithful, and not only the Catholics, but people in general, that there is hope, that they can still believe in a hope to achieve freedom. John Paul II has followed the pilgrimage, has blessed the Lady of Charity and crowned her. This made him Cuban himself, as it happened in Pope Benedict's during Benedict's trip. Unfortunately, following the John Paul II's visit, repression, in fact, has increased. Demonstrators, mostly Catholics, who formed a liberation movement, a Christian liberation movement, were able to get some 25,000 signatures that were presented to the Cuban Assembly that asked for three major issues: freedom of association, freedom of speech, and free elections. They have all been arrested in what is called the Black Spring in 2003, and sentenced to 25 years imprisonment. So the repression has in fact increased. However, the church was able to get what is called some space, which meant that the church is allowed to repress their the different churches that are in badly damaged throughout the years to express themselves, but only within the church space to have different different meetings and to celebrate Christmas, which was a very important achievement following John Paul II's visit.
We just have about 2 minutes left, and I wanted to ask one final thing, Victor. Do you have hope that we may see any additional changes or greater freedoms as a result of Pope Benedict's visit?
There are two attitudes that emerged. On one hand, the different dissidents, the ladies in white in particular, the wives and sisters and mothers of those who opposed the regime and who demonstrate weekly after Mass in front of the Santa Rita Church, a very important Catholic church in central Havana. They are almost desperate. They continue to be persecuted. They have been arrested, detained, so that they will not be able to participate to the Mass offered by Pope Benedict in Havana. So on one hand, people called dissidents are very desperate, but they at the same time express their belief that and their faith that through prayer they will be able to, in time, be allowed to express themselves more freely and perhaps even have at some point free elections. On the other hand, we are all aware that the Castro regime is very skilled in playing the Catholic card, as they do with other denominations as well. It is interesting to note that the Castros have allowed other denominations to develop and move around Cuba. The Orthodox Russian Church has opened a huge cathedral in central Havana. There's the Mormon Church that has established itself with over 350 groups around the island. The Quakers and the Baptists are also making gains, and they are present in Cuba. So we have to be aware of the game that is played at different times by the Castro regime as their economical situation continues to deteriorate, and they would need to come out from isolation, and they hope the regime that is to impress upon the United States government the issue of lifting the embargo.
Well, Victor, I want to, we certainly are continue to keep those folks in our prayers, and I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today on Register Radio.
Thank you, Tim.
When we return, we'll be talking with Matt Archbold about communicating your values. It is especially important to make them known in this critical election year. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Are you concerned about the way our nation and our world are heading? Are you looking for the truth behind the issues of the day? Do you need support in standing up for life, the family, and our Catholic faith? Then join well-informed Catholics worldwide who depend on the National Catholic Register to address the most compelling questions of our time. Now part of the EWTN family of services, the Register is a trusted source of news and views with an unwavering fidelity to the Pope and the Magisterium. Get the in-depth analysis you need explaining what happened and why it matters for Catholics who engage in the culture to serve Christ. To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register, or call 800-854-6316. That's EWTN.com and click on the Register subscription banner, or call 800-854-6316.
It's fun.
It's free.
It's Wings, EWTN's weekly e-newsletter delivered to your inbox free each week. Read about upcoming special programming.
And learn what's new at EWTN, radio, TV, and internet.
Just send an email to radio@EWTN.com.
Be sure to put Wings in the subject line.
Wings, a free service from your friends at the Global Catholic Network, EWTN.
If it's happening at the Vatican, the United States, or anywhere else in the world, look to EWTN News for live coverage of landmark events in the life of the Church. From today's headlines to compelling interviews with Catholic newsmakers, EWTN News, only on the Global Catholic Network.
Making a difference, EWTN Radio.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Tim Drake and Dan Burke, I'm Tom Price. Dan, in the name of fitting in, wanting to be part of the crowd, not standing out, it can be kind of dangerous for Catholics to stay on the sidelines and keep their values to themselves. Would you not agree?
I agree, Tom. I think one of the effects of Catholics, Christians, remaining on the sidelines, being ineffective in their communication, mm-hmm. has really been that our country, the place where children are the least safe and the least secure, is in the womb of their own mothers.
Oh, yeah.
That has come to fruition because we're not effective in our action. But a lot of times we're not very good at communicating our values and moving people to understand what's the real issues at mm-hmm. stake. And then how should we respond as Christians to those issues, both in our personal lives and the way that we engage in the civil discourse?
You got to be bold. You got to be out there because others are not shy about being bold and being out there.
And, you know, a lot of times they're out there ahead of us. Mm-hmm. And they're building. They spend, a lot of us responsible folks spend most of our time working, whereas some are professional protesters and working to get their agenda across. So sometimes we lag behind a bit. But this is a time where I hope we're not doing that. EWTN has really taken a bold stand against the HHS mandate and yep. been really effective through bloggers like Matthew Archibald and many of our other writers, and a lot of our readers are engaging in this. Matthew recently wrote a post entitled Write Your Own HHS Slogan, which was a bit on the humorous side, but yeah. I thought, you know, I think it's a good trigger to talk a bit about how we can effectively communicate our values in this tough period. Welcome to the show, Matthew.
Hey, Dan, what do you mean a bit on the humorous side?
A bit? Well, it wasn't all that funny, but there was a lot of tongue-in-cheek there. But, I think you have an important call out to your readers to say, hey, how do we say this the right way in a sound bite that's effective?
Before blogging, I was a newspaper reporter, and after that I was in politics. I managed a number of campaigns. So I was always sort of obsessed with messaging. And I've, you know, blogging now for a number of years as a Catholic blogger, I've come to the conclusion that Catholics are the worst protesters in the entire world.
That's not good.
No, it's not. I mean, if you look at, you know, what protesters do, you know, I was at the March for Life this year, and I took a moment and I just looked around, and everyone just looked so happy, so joyful. And I was just thinking to myself, this is the exact opposite of the Occupy Wall Street. Occupy Wall Street gets all the press, all the adulation, you know, and I don't know if we need to have Bishop Laurie turn over a car or something. But it's just we are singularly suited to not be protesting. But somehow, through all this, we've actually gotten the message out through this, but we haven't done it through the old media, which is, you know, the way that, you know, turning over cars and threats and that anger that comes through. And that's, let's face it, that's what newspapers and television wants. But we've done it through places like EWTN, like the Register. And you cannot discount priests talking about this stuff from the altar.
Well, the other great thing that's happened in all of this, the enemy has been so clear in this situation. I've never seen, now I'm not a cradle Catholic, so I haven't been around as long as you or Tom or Tim, but have all the bishops ever aligned like they have against this very sad mandate that we've seen recently?
Absolutely not. It's incredible. I actually thought when the Notre Dame thing happened, when they invited Obama, that when the majority of Catholics, when the majority of the bishops came out, you know, speaking negatively about it, I really thought that was a watershed moment. But this is really, this takes the cake. I mean, before this, the Catholic blogosphere, it was almost like a circular firing squad.
Yeah.
All of us taking pot shots at each other.
Yeah.
This has really unified us in a way I have not seen before.
Well, I think what happens is when the enemy outside is greater, more prominent than the differences between you, that really helps people to unite and align properly.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I believe it was Bill Donahue with the Catholic League who said, "I have never seen bishops unite like this in my lifetime."
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Well, Matt, you asked your readers to come up with some slogans, some ways to communicate this effectively. Did you get any good ones? I mean, what were your, if you could give us a rundown of maybe the top 3 to 5?
Yeah, we had the ones that were popular seemed to be, you know, a play on the liberal slogan, say, "Keep your ovaries off my rosaries," which was a big one. And in talking about, you know, how they're constantly saying 98% of Catholics use contraception, a bumper sticker to go on all the minivans, "I am the 2%, which I thought was pretty funny. "Contraception isn't free when the cost is religious liberty."
Yeah.
And then another one is "RIP, the First Amendment, rest in peace." But I got to tell you, the one that stands out from all, and not so much humorous, is the "We will not comply." I really think that says it all. And I think one of the reasons that the Obama administration does not know what to do, the Obama administration is so used to intimidating Republicans into being cowed and into finally relenting to the onslaught of the executive branch and the media, but they've never dealt with the bishops where they're just saying, no, we will not comply. This isn't a matter that you talk us to death and then we relent. You're misunderstanding. We will not comply. It's a different thing, and that's why Obama's administration every other week has to issue a new press release, a new clarification, quote-unquote, or a new compromise, ha-ha-ha. What's the bishop's message been this whole time? We will not comply.
It's been a beautiful thing. I mean, we really just have not moved. Sometimes the majority can be convinced to sleep or take a nap a bit because it feels like there's some sort of compromise. But that certainly has not been the case here. This is Dan Burke with Register Radio, and we're talking with Matthew Archibald about how to effectively communicate your faith, how to deal with these difficult times with the political climate that we're facing. Matthew, the Pope was just in Havana and he preached a wonderful homily where he said, "The church lives to make others sharers in one thing she possesses, which is none other than Christ, our hope of glory. To carry out this duty, she must count on basic religious freedom, which consists in her being able to proclaim and to celebrate her faith also in public, bringing others the message of love, reconciliation, and peace, which Jesus brought to the world." It's amazing that he's saying that in a communist country, but it's even more astounding that we're having trouble in this country. I mean, it just makes no sense.
It's so sad that at this time,
that the same speech has to be given at in Cuba as is given in America. And it really shows you what we are on the precipice on. And all we have to do is look south. That's where that it's happening there. That is the fruition of the goal. You know, the big government stamping out religious liberty. And it's such a frightening time. But there's never been a more important time in my lifetime for us to be out there speaking about it and getting our message through with joy.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a key point, Matthew, and you pointed that out earlier, which is where you have the Occupy Wall Street crowd, who's a dismal bunch and really a silly bunch in many ways, with the church, whether it be with the Catholic Church, our Protestant brothers and sisters, those who align with us. Folks are out there together recognizing how big this battle is and how we really rest in Christ, but at the same time take responsibility for our citizenship and our country and really work to make this thing turn around.
And don't forget the power of prayer. We all have to just keep praying about this. Because that's the other thing. You know, we know in the end the church will triumph, but we just have to do our part in this and not relent. Souls are on the line.
Yeah, I agree with you, Matthew. You certainly do your part. We appreciate you and your brother, Pat, and all the folks who blog over at ncregister.com. And if folks want to read more of Matthew's work and how he's helping us to understand how to effectively communicate on tough issues, go to ncregister.com. Thank you so much, Matthew, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah, thank you also, Matt. You know, sometimes, Dan, it's those little bumper sticker slogans that stick with us, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And how very, very important that is. So please go to ncregister.com and check out the National Catholic Register, the print edition, now the award-winning second year in a row. Congratulations to you, Dan, and your entire team.
Thank you, Tom. It's a real blessing.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us this week on Register Radio. For Tim Drake, Dan Burke, and all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Register Radio is made possible by donations from generous listeners like you. To bless us with your gift, visit ncregister.com and click on the Donate tab or call 205-568-9756.